If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and a reality check you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Welcome back, everybody. You're here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. I'm so thrilled today to be chatting about something I know a little bit about, not a lot about. I'm talking to Charlene McIntosh, clinical hypnotherapist and holistic counselor, on the topic of fear of the dark. Welcome to the show, Charlene.
No, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's so good to have you here, and I'm really excited to dive into this topic. For those of you that don't know Charlene, Charlene has been involved in the healthcare industry for the majority of her working life. Many of those years were spent working in the corporate arena. Although she had many great experiences and successes, her stress levels hit an all-time high, and she wondered if there was more to life. It was at this time that she started her search to find many ways to reduce stress and live a more fulfilling life, offering her more purpose, balance, and freedom. Charlene had always had an interest in how our brain works and what makes us tick, and this led her to make the decision to retrain as a therapist in the wellness industry. Charlene knew immediately that she'd found the right path. Not only did it dramatically change her life and help her to obtain more balance and happiness, but it offered her the opportunity to share with others and help them transform their lives as well. Charlene's own life experiences, which are vast, have allowed her great insight, and this is linked with the skills she's acquired through her training and has enabled her to offer her clients a genuine and down-to-earth experience. Charlene uses an integrated approach when working with clients, introducing hypnotherapy, holistic counseling, and coaching. She feels very privileged to join someone's personal journey as they begin to heal from past unresolved experiences, address current challenges, and find true balance and happiness. Charlene knows this is possible because she has experienced it herself. Well, what a journey you've been through. And anytime someone talks about holistic wellness and helping people heal from past experiences, I get excited because I think more people are leaning into that than ever before. In terms of past experiences, how has the last year been for you personally on your own journey?
Yeah, I think, I'm incredibly grateful to do the work that I do, helping other people overcome challenges and, get back to where many people feel, they've kind of stepped away from over everyday life. So it's a real privilege. And whilst I do that, watching other people's transformation take place, it really helps my own journey to continue in such a great way. You know, when you're talking with people on a daily basis about overcoming challenges, you know, stepping up and pushing through, making those changes, it's a constant inspiration to myself. I'm helping myself continue that journey. It's a never-ending journey. It continues on. You know, there's always growth and learnings and new things to discover about ourselves and about other people and the world around us. So, you know, I've had an amazing year. I love what I do. So it's an incredible journey for me. Yeah.
That is so good to hear. You know, it has been challenging for so many people in different ways. And part of the reason it has been challenging, my audience has heard me say this before, is because in 2024, certain things from your past will be arising. It's for you to remember and then to release, I think, to release so that you can move on and be who you're born to be. And sometimes we need people like Charlene to help us do that. We can't really do it on our own. I'd love to know, you know, without breaking any confidentiality, what are some of the things that you've been able in the past year to help people to release and move through?
Yeah, I guess I see a range of people, children as well as adults, with a number of different issues. I guess often there is a sort of bit of a theme of people just trying to get to a place where they can feel good enough, feel authentic in who they are and what they're doing. And just, yeah, that release, that letting go of needing to be something for everyone else so that they're good enough. And so many of my clients have actually quite a good awareness. Many of my clients have been in talk therapy and other therapies for quite some time. And so they're quite aware that they have challenges that are holding them back, but that awareness often isn't enough to change how they feel. And so really seeing many of those clients come to me, often with, you know, wanting weight loss or to quit smoking or quit drinking, but, you know, that's only the top layer. There's a reason why people are struggling with unhelpful behaviours, addictions, excess weight. And so really helping them to change those behaviours, but going beneath that and really working on why they ended up in that place in the first place. And, you know, for many people, it is really that deep-seated belief that they're just simply not good enough, that they've bought through from childhood. And, you know, it's getting in the way of them feeling free, able to let go of the past and start living their lives as they deserve to, you know, feeling happy and being good enough just as they are. So I guess for me, no matter what I'm working on, whether it's, you know, quitting smoking or losing weight, there's always all of the stuff beyond that. And most of that comes through from childhood.
I love that concept of getting beneath the behaviors and really addressing it, because you're right. A lot of people are aware. They've got the awareness. Like, I know that I've got these experiences that I'm making them mean different things, but then it's like, well, how do I move past? How do I move on from there? With that being said, I would love it if you could share with us an example of, you know, someone that has come through the other side, someone that has done the work, they've been able to release some of these things holding them back and move forward in their life. Do you have an example like that?
Yeah, actually, I have so many examples of that. Just thinking about a lady that comes to mind now. So a middle-aged lady that was working full-time. She had a little toddler. And when I saw her, she was on leave from work because her stress levels had become so intense that she had actually developed all sorts of different symptoms, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, she wasn't sleeping, she'd gone on medication, she was seeing a counsellor, and really her life had stopped. She couldn't work, she couldn't look after her son properly, and she actually had no idea where this had come from. So she was a professional, that all of a sudden this anxiety just became really out of control. And so I started seeing her. After four sessions, she was back at work, had her life back, was off the medication, no longer any symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome, was sleeping comfortably through the night. And so with her, she presented with stress and anxiety, which we absolutely had to deal with initially, but then we wanted to go below that and find out where did that come from. And so for her, it ended up being, you know, without going into too much detail, but she had no support. She actually, her family were overseas. She was unable to see her family. And so that combined with a couple of other things going on just really triggered that for her. And out of the blue, you know, she was suffering with severe anxiety. And so for her, it was the anxiety that she came with, and that's exactly what we treated. But how we treated that was going back and dealing with some relationship issues within the family, her feeling of being unsupported and not being able to connect with her family. And so the anxiety was just the symptom. And so we really did need to go and do some work around some of those relationship issues that weren't new, but that with a couple of other things sparked that intense anxiety for her. So yeah, she was a lovely woman to work with, and quite quickly for her. So just four sessions a week apart, and she was back to kind of that pre-anxiety.
It actually warms my heart to hear that story. Well, first of all, because it didn't take 4 months or 4 years. And secondly, because I'm so happy that we've got to this stage in society where people are looking more into holistic options, because, you know, previously, what would someone do? Oh, I've got anxiety. So they would slap that label on their chest. I've got anxiety. And they'd probably just pop some pills and like soldier on. And now it's like, okay, well, let's get to the root of the problem, or as you say, beneath the behavior, and help to really release that, to heal that and move on. I was thinking about anxiety yesterday, because that's something you hear a lot, especially even with like teenagers and like preteens. You know, there's 10-year-olds that say, I have anxiety. And I kind of, not so much like the devil's advocate, but I kind of go like, you don't have anxiety. Like, and if they just change the languaging, I feel anxious about, because I imagine it is about certain things, about being left behind or about being good enough, like you said earlier. So I feel like before people start really taking ownership of that label, I have anxiety, change the languaging. I feel anxious about. Anyway, I'm a big fan of empowered languaging. I would love
language is so important. Right. So important. Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to segue now to talking about a certain specific fear, because today we're focusing on the topic of fear of the dark. So let's look at that. Fear of the dark. What is that? How common is it? And how do you know if someone has it?
Yeah, it's actually more common than, you know, a lot of people think. And it's not just in children, you know, adults as well, also suffering with that. So it's more common in children. And about 45% of children actually have a fear of the dark. And many of those children will, you know, grow out of that fear, but many won't. So those children usually take it into adulthood. Sometimes it develops in adulthood, but it's less common. And so a fear of the dark is simply that. So a fear is, when we look at phobias, that's a fear that becomes irrational. And so, you know, fear in itself is not bad at all. It helps us survive. And so a fear of the dark, when that becomes irrational, what it looks like is for children, they're unable to sleep at night. They can't sleep by themselves. They start maybe having panic attacks or crying. For adults, what that can look like is, you know, sometimes it kind of lends itself to an adult not being able to feel safe at home by themselves. So that starts interfering with their relationships. You know, maybe their partner's staying after work for drinks and it's getting dark. And so that adult at home is starting to get quite panicked because it's getting dark. And so it's the nervous system not being able to calm down. So any sort of fear is the nervous system, you know, being peaked. We're on alert looking for danger. And where fears and phobias come in, it turns into that irrational. So there is no need to be afraid at that time, but our minds still think that there is. And so it is actually quite common, and it kind of lends itself to fear of the dark, you know, at home going to sleep. But that also, you know, if you were going through a tunnel, if you were in a small space and it was kind of dark. So it does sort of expand out slightly differently for everybody. And it can be really unhelpful, really, really unhelpful. And so looking at what it is initially, letting people know that actually it is quite common and that they are not consciously choosing to be difficult or to not get over it. Fears belong in the subconscious mind. And so the subconscious mind is that part of our minds that we can't fully control. And so, you know, even if we know there's nothing to be afraid of, the subconscious mind is generating that fear, which is then causing physical responses to take place in the body. So that's when the sweating and the shaking and the crying, panic attacks, that sort of thing, start to develop. And so hypnotherapy deals with the subconscious mind. And so that's how using hypnotherapy can help people overcome fears and phobias, because we understand there's nothing to be scared of, but that's sitting in the conscious thinking analytical part of the mind. The fear itself is sitting in the subconscious mind. Hypnotherapy, using hypnosis, allows us access to the subconscious mind so that we may make those changes. And we're not trying to take away fear, you know, altogether. That's actually unhealthy and unsafe for us. We're just trying to remove irrational fear. So, you know, we don't want somebody not being able to sleep. Children that can't sleep, it leads to a whole lot of other things. And the fear of the dark does stem from a form of anxiety. That's what it is, because anxiety is that elevated nervous system. And so it is a form of anxiety. Is it important for us to know where it comes from? Often adults want to know. They want a reason. Often children, they don't. It doesn't really matter. It's really based on the client themselves. If they want to find a reason, often we can go back and find, you know, an event or a memory that's caused that fear. But often we can't. We don't remember. And so we don't need to find an event. We really just need to acknowledge that there's an issue there that's getting in the way of us moving forward. Our subconscious mind is like a huge big filing cabinet. And so it files everything that has ever happened to us. And we don't have to remember it in order for it to be in that filing cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Hypnosis gives us the ability to go into that filing cabinet, retrieve that file that is responsible for that fear, and upgrade it, remove it. Allowing people to move forward.
I'd love to ask some really basic questions that I imagine some of my listeners are wondering. When someone is having hypnosis, and I've had it before, and I was in person, in room with the person, but a few questions is, does the person remember everything that they said during the hypnosis session?
So hypnosis sessions don't always include people talking, the clients talking. Sometimes they don't talk at all, and just the clinician is talking. And sometimes they do. It depends on what we're working on. And the answer to that question is sometimes. So many clients remember every single word that's said. Other clients have no idea what's said. And it really makes no difference to, how effective the hypnotherapy session will be. It's just everybody's different. And so just knowing that the part that remembers what went on during the session is sitting in the conscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the thinking analytical mind might be sitting there listening to every single word. Whereas sometimes the mind, the thinking part of the mind, is distracted enough that they can't remember anything. They're off doing something else, like dreaming, and they can't remember anything that's said. So both, yeah.
Okay. And in terms of what this looks like, is it in person? And I'm not sure where you are in New Zealand. You can let us know. Or is it on Zoom or both?
Again, both. Yeah. So I have a clinic on the Hibiscus Coast in Auckland. And probably 90% of my clients are in person. They come in and see me. And yeah, about 10% are over Zoom because they're in a different country or a different city. And so, again, both very effective.
I love how you said that they don't need a reason. Like, they don't need to get to like the why, and they don't need to relive it. And it's not talk therapy. And I think for a lot of people listening, that'll be a relief, because many people won't want to relive something, or they've maybe tried a lot of counseling or therapists where they went over the details and they don't want to. They want to try something new. So that is good to hear. And I hear what you're saying about the filing cabinet. I've got a question about ages and stages versus fear and phobia. So what I mean by that is fear of the dark. I imagine for some kids, you know, that's kind of an age or a stage. I remember when my daughter was, I'm not exactly sure, I'm going to say 9. And there was an incident that scared her with a homeless person in the dark. But ever since then, she was so scared at night, and she slept with a baseball bat under her bed. And her fear was being kidnapped. And then she kind of, I don't know, grew out of it, but it was something where I was like, is this an age and a stage, or is this something that she's genuinely scared of? So can you talk to that, ages and stages versus fears and phobias?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, as I said earlier, many children do go through a phase of being quite scared of the dark, just like they may go through a phase of being scared of something else, and they can just actually grow out of it. Throughout their development, the brain is changing and they can overcome those fears. Often, you were talking about your daughter, often in that situation where there's been a event,
mm-hmm.
Often in that situation, they don't grow out of it. So it's fantastic that she did. When we're talking
I took her to some healers though. So.
Oh, wonderful. yeah. So she had some guidance and help with that.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about ages and stages, it's quite relevant because for children up until the age of about 7, they actually don't have a barrier between the conscious part of their mind and the subconscious part of their mind. So that actually means all children up until the age of about 7 are walking around in hypnosis 100% of the time. They don't have a filter. It's not developed at that point. And so often some of the things that they might be a bit worried about, sometimes small children are worried about water, for instance. And as they get older, they simply just grow out of that. After the age of 7, the programming and all the things that have been uploaded are kind of fixed. So, if you think of the filing cabinet, it's like an office. The office door is open up until probably about 7-ish. And then once they hit that age, the door's closed. And the only way back into that office is through hypnosis, accessing the subconscious mind. And so what's already in the filing cabinet at that point is quite relevant. So many children have different fears, you know, when they're small that they will simply grow out of. And often many of those aren't in relation to specific events. After the age of seven, usually, if there has been a significant fear, it normally sticks. And, you know, there's other ways to manage that and overcome those fears. You know, exposure therapy can be really helpful. You know, if somebody's scared of spiders, you know, at first they might look at a spider on a screen, and then the next day they might look at a spider on the TV, a real one. You know, eventually they might go to the zoo and look at a real spider behind the glass. Will they love spiders? Unlikely. But will it become just a slight discomfort rather than a phobia? A phobia is simply an irrational fear where it doesn't make sense. So the reaction is over and above what would make sense. So yeah, I think many of the adults that I see with fears and phobias, including a fear of the dark, have come through from childhood. Not many of them have been developed later in life unless there was a particular incident. You know, something might have happened that has caused that. Children under the age of seven often outgrow the fears.
It must be such a relief for people when they do, in adulthood, finally, you know, move on and are able to release that fear that they've carried with them that whole time. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show here on Reality Check Radio. I'm talking to Charlene McIntosh about the topic of fear of the dark, and specifically around hypnotherapy to support people through that, as well as other fears and phobias. We would love to hear your feedback. We would love to know what is resonating for you, if you've got questions around hypnosis or your own experience with fears and phobias. You can send us a message, 2057 on the text, or email us inbox@realitycheck.radio. What else, Charlene, can people be aware of in terms of being able to release their fears and phobias? You mentioned one of the first steps is having it acknowledged. So it's not, you know, it is, you know, they've got a fear of the dark. It is something. It's not just that they're being silly or a worry wart or something like that. So what other things are going to help them to release these fears?
Yeah, absolutely. I think acknowledgement is super important. You know, a lot of people are embarrassed by some of their fears that they have. And I think explaining to those people that it is not a choice. We are humans and we are hardwired in a certain way. And so fear is there to keep us safe. You know, the ultimate purpose is for us to survive. And so, in fact, our minds believe that they're helping us do that. They're helping us survive. So rather than being embarrassed or frustrated or disappointed in yourself, acknowledging that your mind is working to keep you alive, which is great. You know, thank goodness for that. Sometimes there's some crosswires, you know, and so it's just getting it wrong. So the intention there is something that's of value. It is just acknowledging that the wires are a little bit crossed. And so it's not a case of just getting over something. Mm-hmm. It is recognizing that this is a hardwired response and it's there to keep us alive. It's getting in the way. It's not helpful. And just knowing that you can change, no matter how long you've been struggling with a fear or phobia or anything else, any unhelpful habits, behaviors, beliefs can be changed. And so it's just a case of believing that, you know, at any stage, doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been dealing with something, change is possible. And feeling proud of yourself that you're actually taking a step forward to take back control, because nobody should have to live with, you know, unhelpful fears. We all deserve to be happy and move forward in our lives. And it's simply just a case of just understanding that, you know, so acknowledgement is absolutely the first step. Also knowing that it can actually be quite quick. So fears and phobias can be overcome quite quickly in a matter of weeks. And, you know, for many of my clients, they just simply can't believe that they've lived with something mm-hmm. for so long and that it can be so simple. Many of them, you know, they're only disappointment or regret is that they didn't do it sooner. But timing is always, you know, always relevant. You know, the right thing, the right therapist at the right time. And so people find, you know, the therapy, they talk to other people at the right time for them, at the right time to let those things go. And so it can be quite quick is something else.
important. What an uplifting message. I mean, the fact that for some people who have, like you said, lived through this, and I imagine a lot of them have coping strategies. You know, I can imagine people like, I always check under the bed and then I check in the closet or whatever. They have coping strategies, but really they would love to actually not have to do that at all. So the fact that it is possible after however many years is quite an uplifting message, which is so important for people to hear. So if you're listening to this and you've got, and it's resonating because you've got a fear or phobia, maybe this is the divine timing for you to know that you can release it. You just have to connect with the right person to help you. I'm going to ask you in a minute how they can find you. But what I'd love to ask you first, Charlene, is if you were to truly up your brave in 2024, what would you do?
Well, I think for me, I've always wanted to really spread the message, I guess, you know, expand so that more people are aware that actually we don't have to be satisfied with where we're at and who we are in our lives. You know, we have the ability to make change. And many people are simply unaware of that. They're living in a way that they believe, you know, is their lot. And we just have to put up with it. But we actually don't. And so, you know, what I would love to do is spread the word more, you know, step outside of my clinic and my one-to-one work that I do and just spread that word more, you know, reach more people so that more people understand that it is actually our, you know, it's our right to be happy. And we can do that no matter what you've been through in your life. There is a way forward. There is a way to start living rather than surviving. And I think many people are simply surviving, you know, and that's just not enough. You know, we deserve to live and be happy, and we can change, and it really can be that simple. So I guess for me, this year I would like to really get out more and spread that message, spread that awareness so that more people can take back control of their lives, you know.
Well, thank you. You're doing that starting today. We're on the airwaves. We're spreading the word through RCR. So thank you for being a guest. What is coming up for you in the next 3 to 6 months, either, you know, travel or personal things or things in your business? And how can people connect with you if they want to learn more or have some hypnotherapy for themselves?
Yeah, well, I guess for me, kind of leading on from your last question, and the next sort of 3 to 6 months, really developing some new products and courses so that we can reach more people. You know, there's only one of me, so doing one-to-one sessions, you know, there is a cap on that. So I would like to, develop more courses. So next 3 to 6 months, I guess that's what's coming up for me business-wise. And where you can reach me is you could head to the website at integratedinsights.co.nz. Follow us on Facebook or Instagram. You can connect and, I offer free 15-minute consults to anyone and everyone that wants to have a chat. There's absolutely no obligation at all. You know, it's really important to me that people get the help that they need. And if that's with me, wonderful. And, you know, I love being a part of that. But if that is just providing some information and some guidance so that people can find somebody else or something else, you know, I'm all about that. So I'm always open to have a chat with people and connect with people and see how I can help.
When people do that 15-minute chat, do some of them start off by saying, like, you probably can't help me or I don't know if you can help me, but, and then they share. Are they
absolutely
kind of apprehensive about it?
Yeah. Look, many of my clients say to me in that 15-minute chat, or even when I start seeing them for the first session, you know, I've tried everything else, so I've got nothing to lose. I want this to work, but I'm not really sure that it's going to. I don't think I can be hypnotized, or I don't know what's wrong. I just don't feel good. Mm. So sometimes people, they just don't know what's wrong. And even actually a few of my clients feel a bit guilty about coming and seeing a therapist because, you know, they have a nice car and they have a good life and they have a nice husband and they actually feel embarrassed or a bit guilty about not feeling happy. You know, we're entitled to feel however we feel, no matter what we have on the outside. And so it's very common for people to have doubts and worries about the hypnotherapy side of things. And what I say to those people is that's absolutely fine. You don't need to have that belief. Let's just do a session and see how you feel rather than what you think. And so, of course, after that first session, they feel differently. And so then they don't care. They simply don't care how it's working. They just can feel that it is. And so then they go on to have further sessions.
I'm glad I asked that question because I didn't realize that people, a lot of people would come and they wouldn't be specific in what they're there for. I imagine I had thought a lot of people would be like, I'm scared of the dark, or I have this specific issue or that specific. And what you responded with was basically looping back to where we started, where there's so many people that just don't feel good enough, you know, and also they don't feel as good as they think they should feel. Like, I've got the car, I've got the job and all the things, I'm not happy. So it's like, let's just see where the session takes you, and being having that open mindset. I think that's open to the possibility of how good it can get.
Yeah. I think many of those clients, they do know deep down, they're just afraid. They're just afraid to bring that to the surface. And mm-hmm. so sometimes they're wanting somebody else to guide them to that that place so that they feel safe enough and so that they feel validated, you know, because they feel worried. You know, that should word, gosh, that comes up so often, you know, we should do something. And so really helping people to, you know, bringing that combination of the holistic counseling and the hypnotherapy together is so effective, because we really want to start questioning some of these, you know, why should we, you know, who said we should? And that's so important, you know, bringing that awareness at the same time as working with the subconscious mind on those unhelpful beliefs and habits and behaviors. It's, you know, absolutely is a winning combination, in my opinion. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I think we've opened some people's eyes to the concept of hypnotherapy, which I imagine some people would have already done and other people would have heard of it, and some people might not have heard of it. So thank you for sharing that insight with us today. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience before we go?
Yeah, thank you. Look, I just wanted to remind everyone that, you know, bravery isn't about never feeling fear. You know, it's just about expecting some discomfort as we make change. And discomfort is good. Discomfort is good. It means that we're growing and expanding and making change. And so it's not about avoiding things and getting to a place of having an absolute stress-free, happy life. It's actually just embracing life as it comes and kind of having some control, you know, steering the car a little bit rather than just, you know, waiting to find out where we end up. And so, bravery isn't about not feeling fear. It's about embracing that fear and seeing where that fear can take us. So, just, I guess, stay true to yourself, you know, keep pushing forward, pushing those boundaries, and knowing that no matter who you are, at what stage of your life you're in, if you want to, you can become happier. It really is that simple to make that change.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Charlene, for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.